it's like sales and customer service 101. Like, you're the best customer to have. I don't care what it costs. I need it now. I'm in pain. I'm willing to pay for that right now.
Yes, yes, yes.
Those are my favorite clients.
I would have paid $1,400 if I had to. It would have sucked. And I was like choking on it. And I would have paid it.
Welcome, Warners, to another episode of The Women Your Mother Warned You About.
The podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tremarco, Master Trainer at Sales Gravy.
Rachel Pitts, Mommy Wifey Mortgage Loan Officer at U.S. Mortgage, the Singing Lender, and creator of Your Ultra Fit Lifestyle.
I missed you this morning in a Fanatical Prospecting boot camp. I'm happy to see that we're both, we got the memo, we're both wearing the same color today, but you were very missed in Fanatical Prospecting, and we were talking about video prospecting today. And of course, I had to promote the Singing Lender Instagram, and I was telling everyone to go watch your fun videos, because one of the things I talk about when it comes to video prospecting and messaging is have fun with video. So I just wanted you to know that I was pushing that out there for you,
thank
my friend.
Thank you. And it does work. And I am sorry. I was super upset that I missed it. And the reason for it was because I just got back from my very first snowboarding trip, and it was an adventure from start to finish. Starting with them changing our flight. So we had to fly out of Wilmington, but we were flying back into Myrtle Beach. So I had to get a rental car to drive to Wilmington so that my car would be at Myrtle Beach when we flew back. And then the midst of that, coming to the realization that I didn't have a ticket to go to Jackson Hole, which is like an epic mountain in Wyoming.
Wait. A flight ticket, or like a ticket to go on the hill?
I had no ticket. I had no flight ticket. So what happened was Felix and I booked a trip to Port. I'm going to say this really fast to get through the story. Felix and I booked a trip last year in 2020 for Puerto Rico, and that fell right when COVID hit and they canceled the trip and they gave us vouchers. For some reason, they gave Felix an electronic voucher and they sent me a paper voucher, which I think I threw it away, because when I rebooked the tickets for Jackson Hole in September, and they used Felix's e-voucher, and they told me that I needed to mail my voucher to them, which I immediately like wrote on the envelope while I was talking to the agent and put the voucher in the envelope and sent it that same day. Well, 2 days before the trip, the voucher came back in the mail, which is worth like $300, which I threw in the trash. Actually, I'm going to go look in the trash in a minute. I'm not above that. And so I really was like, huh, that's weird. But I had talked to an agent a few days prior, actually on my birthday, because they told us they changed the airport. So they were talking to me about both our tickets. But apparently, because they didn't receive the voucher, or they received it and they sent it back, or whatever the fuck happened, that they canceled my ticket altogether. So I had no ticket. Felix had a ticket. I had no ticket. And so here's a really good piece of advice. So I was talking to the American Airlines ticket counter, and I was like very much oh shit in my mind. And I was very calm with them. And I was like, get me on that plane. What do we got to do? First, it started out, it was like $1,400 to get me on the plane. And I'm like, okay, let's just do it. And then they're like, no, let's figure out a better way. So then they tried like all these different ways. I told my story to like six different people because they were trying to figure out what happened. And so finally, ultimately, I had to buy a new ticket, but it only cost me $400 because they honored the price that we paid. So I got a ticket and off we went. But I don't know that she would have reduced that. Worked so hard to reduce my ticket from $1,400 to $4 if I had been a bitch. You know, the people that are freaking out and yelling and screaming and kicking their feet. I was just like, get me on the plane. Like, I can serve coffee. I don't care. I need to be on that plane. We've spent tons of money on this trip already.
You know what has been lost in translation in this world is customer service. And it's like it makes me crazy. I know there are things that are don't have control over or they can't do.
They do, though. There's some things they do.
If people could just be in that mindset of solving a problem for a customer or a client, and like, okay, I'm tired of people who focus on the past. Like, okay, well, historically, well, this is what happened. I don't want to hear yeah. about what happened. How do we move forward
right.
to fix the situation moving forward? We can't worry about what actually happened to get to this point.
Doesn't matter. I was like, get me a plane ticket. I don't care at this point if it costs me $1,400. I need the ticket. So let's focus on that. And not what happened, because it doesn't really matter what happened.
That's what I'm curious. Like, was there a focus on like, well, it's like we're going to research this. And then we found out that
it was like, let's find out what's going on.
Find out later.
The reason that she was trying to do that is because she didn't want me to have to pay for the full ticket. And eventually she found a way to make it so I didn't have to pay the full thing. But what was interesting is they were so, so great. So great. So gracious and great. Then I went over to the counter. I went right next door to the counter to get my rental car. There is no one at all in line but me. I'm standing there. And this woman, this is the opposite example of terrible customer service. She was trying to solve a problem for another customer, obviously, on the phone. And instead of helping me, which took not very much time, she made 3 more phone calls to solve this other problem. And I'm standing there. And she's like getting all worked up and freaking out. And I'm just standing there looking at her like, I'm physically right the fuck in front of you. And meanwhile, the problem that she was trying to solve, since I listened to all 3 phone calls, it was people who already had a car. They were driving around in their car. And it was something about keeping it for an extra day or whatever. Like, she could have helped me and then moved back to that other problem. Like, I just always believe the person that is standing right in front of you is super important. Like, that the 3 phone calls could have waited. And then she would be like, I'm sorry, this is going to take me a while. And I'm like, it's not going to take you a while to give me my fucking keys because I already paid for it.
Well, here's I get crazy when it comes to customer service. I get crazier about customer service than sales. So customer service equals sales. If your customer service sucks, you're not going to get repeat business. You're not going to get referral business. You're not going to retain your customers and your clients. The problem with good customer service is that people are not trained to give good customer service. Not everybody, but there are very few organizations that will invest money into actually training their people to not just give good service, but to exceed expectations.
Mm-hmm. You'll love this. We were sitting in the hot tub at when we finally did get to Jackson Hole. We got in the hot tub, and this was interesting. It was a man, because it's all social distance, so only a certain amount of people could be in the hot tub. And so we're in the hot tub, and we start talking to this man, and it obviously was his daughter, and he, you know, we just started chatting. Apparently, he was the former vice president of Marriott, But that was only his first thing. And then he went on to like build this pharmaceutical company, and then he sold that, and then he got back in. And then his most recent venture is they built this other pharmaceutical company, and they sold it for $5.5 billion. And we were talking, he told that cool story of all that stuff. But the thing we got into was customer service. And the reason that his companies were so successful is because they really focused on customer service. And sales, he agreed, because I was like, oh, yeah, I have this podcast about sales. And he said he 100% agrees that customer service is sales, because if you've got a client that's, you know, spending $1 million a year, that's a pretty important client you want to continue to sell to.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Someone's got to service that, right? Like, you, I mean, your salespeople have to be focused on selling. They have to have some level of customer service and account management. But you also need the organization trained to actually continue to serve the customer or the guest or what have you, especially at Marriott World. I came out of the hotel world, and it's all about hospitality and guest experience. And if people would shift to a mindset of guest experience mm-hmm. in everything that they're doing, that would make such a difference. I look at, like, I love the Sales Gravy team, because there's such a great team of people that I can just literally turn things over to manage situations that our clients need taken care of. And the service is amazing. Like, I'm not just bragging on it because of work there. I'm just, it makes my life so much easier working with those people, with like Lisa and Mary and Trisha. Like, they are my, like, thank God for the three of them and what they do every single day, because they over exceed. Like, they go out of their way to give what we call extra gravy. We want to make the experience amazing, but we also work in a culture that we practice what we preach, and we preach it constantly. Oh God, it makes me so crazy when people don't see the value of how they're going to lose business when they have bad mm-hmm. service, how they're going to lose
sales. And even when you're dealing with somebody who, you would have loved this guy, Gina, in this conversation, because he was all about, well, any problem that shows up, it's just a matter of asking enough questions to find out how we can find a solution. And he said, and in fact, that's the basis of all good sales and customer services. Just if you ask enough of the right questions, you'll always get to a solution. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, because when you drill down to I call it drilling down to the pain points, or drilling down to the desires, drilling down to the root of the call, you know, what is going on? What do they need help with? You know, at the end of the day, Rachel wanted to go on her vacation.
Yep. I get my butt on that seat. I don't want you to, because they were like, we could save you some money and we could change Felix over and you could fly like overnight. I'm like, I don't want you to change anything that's in place. I want you to get my butt onto the plane. Don't care how much it costs right now. Just get me, here's my credit card, book the flight, exactly the flights that Felix has. So eventually we got there, and luckily it was a lot less expensive. So
it's so crazy, because that's like sales and customer service 101. Like, you're the best customer to have. I don't care what it costs. I need it now. I'm in pain. I'm willing to pay for that right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes, yes.
Those are my favorite clients.
I would have paid $1,400 if I had to. It would have sucked. And I was like choking on it, and I would have paid it, because we hadn't put a bunch of money on like lift tickets and lessons and rentals and yeah. the hotel and all the things. And,
yeah.
you know, at that point I just wanted to go. And so we went, we got there. The flight out was awesome and fine. And then here we are in Jackson Hole for Rachel to learn snowboarding. Now let's just preface that Jackson Hole is one of the most epic skiing and snowboarding destinations in the United States. It's incredible, and it's pretty much all expert slopes. Like, I want a t-shirt that says I survived the Pooh Bear at Jackson Hole, because that was my slope, the Pooh Bear. Mr. Hot Tub didn't even know where the Pooh, he was like, what's the Pooh Bear? I've never been on that. I'm like, no, you wouldn't have, because it's for babies. It's me and the little shrimps. And I, but so shifting into the importance of good coaching. If you snowboard, or if you have tried it, it's hard. And I'm a dancer. I've been a skateboarder, surfer, all the things. It's totally different than all these things. Like, it's similar, but not, because you're on ice and snow. And we invested in a coach, a instructor. And I'm so glad that I did, because the experience was 100% great because of that. He was a world-class instructor, I'm sure. He'd been doing it for 20 years, you know, and I don't think they hire any schleps on Jackson Hole, because it's a pretty swanky place. But he broke everything down step by step. He had a really nice way of putting it together. And even Felix, who tagged along, thank God, said he was like, I don't understand why he's teaching her this, and I don't understand why he's teaching her that. And then finally, near the end of the lesson, he put it all together. And then I was able to go and execute all these turns down the mountain, because he had taught me each piece. Now, he did preface, he was a great teacher. He did preface it. He said, I'm going to teach it in these little pieces, and it might not make sense, but it's all going to come together. So I knew that in the beginning, and I was like, awesome. But Felix, from the outside looking in, was like, what's going on? But he really made my experience great, because I wasn't one of those people falling down and just I saw them the whole rest of the time I was there, falling down, totally freaking out, not knowing what they're doing, looking scared. And I was a turtle. I was turtle slow going down the mountain, but I felt in control by the time I had processed everything. So it was great. Now, I knew my place the whole time that I was there. I did try a different green slope, which is the beginner slope, on day two, but I was really nervous about it. And I was super hesitant on day two while I was flying solo. Day three was,
what's the difference between poo and green?
Well, poo is green, but it's like it's where they teach you. It's like not very steep, okay, and it's all kids and beginners. And then it's green. So green means go. Green is beginner. Blue is intermediate. Black is expert. And so I knew my place. I was not going anywhere aside from green. And as a matter of fact, I sort of almost had a small nervous breakdown trying to get on the ski lift, because they have these gondolas where you can just walk in, which is good. But the ski lift part is pretty scary on a snowboard. So day two, we didn't have an instructor. Felix decided that he was, and this was after he came down Pooh Bear with me once, and he's like, I'm going to go up to the intermediate and see if I can take you up there, was what he said. And I was like, mm-mm. Now, this is a 45-year-old man who the last time he had his feet on the snow was 20 years ago, thinking that he still had those skills.
Mm. Oh, I see where this is going.
I'm not going to divulge too much aside from that it didn't go well, and he's currently wearing a wrist brace. And that was day two. So it scared me, and I was like, I'm not going anywhere aside from Pooh Bear, because I know where I'm at and that's where I'm staying. So it was very interesting to like observe him in literally confusion that he wasn't 20 years old anymore, or like that he didn't retain those skills from 20 years ago. I'm like, dude, like you can see if there's a difference between looking at me on a snowboard having been on it for 2 days, and he did go a lot when he was younger. So I can see that he sort of knows a little bit more what he's doing, and he does not have the muscle control. He just doesn't. And I couldn't express that enough times, like being a personal trainer and dancer and athlete and all these things. I'm like, you can't just muster up muscle control out of thin air. It just doesn't happen. Like, not happening. He thinks he's a left-handed 20 year old that has skills, because he's got his right hand doesn't work anymore.
Oh, and we know what it's like. I know what it's like to lose my right hand. We know this. We did an episode on this in the very first season of this show, of how much that sucks to use your right hand, and how he's going to have some new learnings with his left hand. But there's so much I want to jump on with this, from a coaching perspective and from the perspective of being a high achiever and high performer, and some of our personality quirks of being high achievers. So there's a couple things that jumped out at me. So I have a couple questions for you. So you hired a coach, which we know you're accustomed to hiring coaches, as am I. So you hired a coach. How much was that coach? I'm just curious.
Ungodly expensive. And it was a half day, 4 hour lesson. And after 4 hours, we extended it to a full day because I wasn't ready. So ungodly expensive. Jackson Hole is ungodly expensive, to the point that I actually don't want to say the numbers.
Okay. So with that being said,
expensive as fuck is what.
Okay. A couple car payments maybe?
Yes.
Okay. So a couple things with that, right? So you know that going there was going to be expensive in general, so you were willing to spend the money because you wanted to make sure that the first expensive investment was going to pay off, which would require a second expensive investment.
Yeah. And overall, not being injured is a whole lot less expensive than it was.
Well, and then there's that too, yeah, right? So there's a lot with that. We're paying to not make mistakes, and we're paying because from mistakes we could get hurt. So we're paying to not get hurt and have more expenses, right? So You're making that investment.
Well, also, I got, and even Felix said it because he was laughing about it. He's like, shoot, man, I had a lot of like serious falls and injuries and problems to get to where you are right now. Like, a good coach can get you where you want to be a lot faster and with a lot less pitfalls. And that's what I found so awesome about it, is that he was able to say, you definitely don't want to do this, and you want to do this. And I, like I said, I watched people. You can tell who don't know what the fuck they're doing on the mountain. And I, by the time day three, I was like, people could, at least the instructors who were going by me on the bunny slope were probably like, she's kind of getting it. Like, you know, because.
Well, you have to be coachable. Yeah. Which I've said this all the time in general as a coach, but I've always said this about you. You have always been coachable. Even when you're having like temper tantrums, you have been coachable, right? And so that's a big piece of this, is that you have to be willing to be coachable. And I find interesting, and I think you and I talked about this last week while you were gone. So you had the coach the first day, and then the second day he's like, I'm going to be the man and I'm going to go to the top of this hill. And so there was no coach around to tell him, maybe not.
Or especially not. And what he found out at the clinic later was he shouldn't have gone first thing in the morning because it was kind of warm out there. So the snow melts and then it freezes overnight and it's icy. So first thing in the morning is a real bad time. And that's what he said. He said he didn't see the ice and he hit it. And when you hit ice on a snowboard, you are fucked.
Yeah.
And so a coach would have said, yeah, man, we can go up there, but let's wait until it warms up a little bit.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't stand it.
I mean, the positive of it is that when we don't listen to people who give us advice, we do learn the hard way. You know, and that learning might stick more because the pain we went through to get there was so bad. So that's the positive side of it. The other piece of this that I found interesting is that you said you were slow going down the hill, right? So often as high performers, and I think you and I both suffer from this, and I think a lot of people could relate to this, we want to go fast. Okay, you know what? I did it once and I did it well. I'm going fast. I am going to up level. I am going to go to the next. I got this. And then we fall on our face with whatever we're doing because we thought doing it that one time so well was enough without realizing that we needed to spend more time mastering it. We just got lucky doing it well the first time. So going slow and then going slow again and then going slow again and then going slow just one more time may feel boring in the process of whatever you're trying to achieve as a goal. It might be boring in the moment, but this is where we have to learn patience, right?
Hey, Warners, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't already hopped over to iTunes to give us a review, please do so. Yes, I'm actually begging, because you know what? If you give us a review, it takes like 30 seconds. It really helps more people find what we have to say. And if you're listening to this right now, you think what we have to say is valuable. So let's spread the love. Give us a review. Please, pretty please. Now back to the show.
Well, and the repetition part is crucial. And if I had thought that I could go, if I had tried to go any faster, then I would have definitely fallen more. And my goal was not to fall. My goal was to get the feeling for it. And so that's exactly what I did. And like the morning of day three, Felix didn't even want to go out. And I encouraged him to go multiple methods of encouragement to go to the clinic and get looked at. And I said, look, even if just get a wrist brace on it, and then you might be able to go out again, which he did later. He had a wrist brace and then he was careful, but he was able to at least go out again. While he was chilling out before the clinic opened, I was like one of the first people on the slopes. I went up. There was no line waiting, so I just would go up. I came down. I went up. I came down. I must have gone down like 5 or 6 times just trying to get the feel. All I wanted was get that feel, because getting the feel for something is the part that you can lose fast if you don't if you suddenly think you can level up faster, then you just find a totally different way to fail and then you lose the feel for the basics. So I was just repeating the basics. And I even said, like, to your point, Gina, I said, I'm not going to get bored repeating the same thing over and over again. I'm not going to, because I want to get it in my body. I want to get confident about this part. And then I can see where, when I master this part, that I can see where it can go. And I'm not ready to level up yet. Day three ever of snowboarding does not make me game to go to blue level on Jackson Hole. No, doesn't. So it was interesting to just be okay with not being great. And the other thing that was really interesting, I was really into, and I've done a couple of posts on social media about failure and the fear factor and failing, and in business, like, example, in prospecting, we've been talking a lot about that. It's very similar to this snowboarding experience, except for it's not a physical hurt. It's more of an ego hurt or an emotional, you know, pain when you go out on a limb and make that call to somebody and then it doesn't go great. And then you suddenly don't want to do it again, right? So, like, I have a video, I'm working on a video of the whole trip that I'm going to put together, but I had a video, I had my GoPro like strapped to my chest, and there's one video where I go down and I fall and I'm like, okay, it's okay. Get up, persevere. This is fine. And I like talk myself through this. And cause when you fall snowboarding, it's like an adrenaline thing and you're scared and you kind of don't want to, but you got to go down the fucking hill or you're stuck on the hill, right? So you got to get up and keep going. So I think when it's a psychological thing, it's a lot easier to give up. Like, oh God, that sucked. If you make a call and they're like, they say pretty much don't ever call me again, you're like, that sucked. But one more call is good. If you get back up and just keep going and do it again, then it's going to build your skills better. So in the case of snowboarding and in business, like, you have to fail. You have to like get up, try it, use what you've been taught, fall on your fucking face. Humiliating. When you see like the people flying by you, like looking like they're killing it, right? And you're like falling on your face. Get up, keep going, because we're all in different places, you know? And it was a really interesting analogy on just everything in life of like, get up, keep going. You can do this. Don't be scared. Breathe. Just do what you were told. Don't try to do anything crazy. Just, you know.
I think that's a really good lesson for our listeners to think about is having that self-talk, right? First of all, having that positive self-talk with yourself to get yourself through the situation. Now, we know how neuroscience works and that how the brain works. You know, oftentimes the brain does not know the difference between a physical threat and a social threat, right? So it doesn't necessarily know the difference between getting hung up on the phone or falling on your ass on a snowboard. It doesn't, it just still has this mechanism where it goes into fight or flight. And
hey, Warner, it's interesting so much hearing you talking about you're
standing
episode,
on top of the
if
hill,
you haven't already
and
hopped over to
the
iTunes
only way to go
review,
down the hill is to
do
go
so.
Down the
yes,
hill.
Yes, I'm actually begging,
right?
Like, because you know what?
That's it.
If you give
so
us a review,
if you start
it takes like 30 seconds,
now,
it really
you
helps
get that.
More
you can wrap your head around that.
What we have to
when
say,
it comes
if you're listening
to
this right now, you think what we have to say is valuable.
Like,
so let's spread the love. Give us a review,
sales calls,
pretty please.
Right, and you're like, got hung up on it. I don't want to get hung up on again. If you start to tell yourself, the only way to make money is to make another call. The only way to make money is to make another call, right? And that becomes, that's your survivor instinct on that. Like, I know earlier before this podcast started, you were giving me a little bit of shit, which is fine because that's fine. You were right and I know it, but I already knew it, so I didn't really need to hear it, but that was fine. Anyway, you're giving me shit about, right? I'm running super hard right now with my schedule and I will forget. Like I have my schedule this Thursday. I don't know how I'm like, where in the world am I going to fucking eat on Thursday? Like, I'm just going to have to carry snacks with me. That's just what it's going to come down to. There's no time in the schedule for something like eating. It's not happening. I'll make it happen. I just have to plan for it. But the reason why this happens to me is as the very hungry hunter, I fill my schedule with every opportunity to close a deal, right? Because in my head, I'm like, gotta close a deal, gotta close a deal, gotta close a deal, gotta close a deal. Now, there's some negative to that, as we have seen. I know, I'm not eating or drinking water. I got it. Working on it. Working on it. On the other hand of this, there are salespeople. Okay, I'm to the extreme. I get it. But there are salespeople who are not thinking to that extreme, or at least halfway in the middle, because they're like, well, I gotta take a break for an hour and have lunch, and then I really do have to take the dogs out. And you know, I have a hangnail and it's really important. I get a manicure. Like, all right, so they go to the other extreme. And so if you want to succeed, you're going to have to tell yourself, this is what has to happen. To get down the hill, I have to get down the hill. To make a prospecting call, I have to make a prospecting call. It's that simple.
Well, and the other thing is the mindless chatter that goes on is not productive. So, example, in snowboarding, when my instructor would say to me, all you need to think is, eyes in the direction I'm going, high on the edge. Eyes in the direction I'm going, high on the edge. So if you know us snowboarding, you'll understand that. So I would be like, in my videos, I'm literally talking to myself. And then we figured out front, like back, I don't know if it's front side or backside. When I'm on my toes, then it's Michael Jackson. So I'm like, eyes down the hill, Michael Jackson, because I fall usually on Michael Jackson and Michael Jackson and on my heels. But then I would be doing that, talking to myself and following him. And then he'd go, hey, Rachel, watch this. As soon as he said, watch this, I would fall. Like it would be like, panic. And then I would fucking fall. Yeah. And he wasn't doing like a watch this, I'm going to do some trick. He was just going to say, here, let's add this one thing. But I was like, I told him, I said, we're going to have to delete watch this, because that triggers me to think you're suddenly going to do something new that I don't know. And then I immediately fall out of concentration and obviously I fall down. So he was like, okay.
So that comes back down to how do we mute out the distractions in our world, right? Because it's those distractions that pull us away.
Yeah. So if you are allowing all this chatter to distract you from what you're trying to do, going back to the example of prospecting calls, and then you're suddenly like, oh, I'm not good at this. This isn't working. I'm just gonna do something else. Then you're being distracted. Instead, like going back to Gina's comment of, if I don't make the next call, I don't make money. Prospecting calls make me money. Make the next call. Like, don't complicate it for yourself. And like, it's like going down the hill again. There's some people flying by me. Now, they are pretty aware by my body language, because I'm like, whoa, like with my hands out, trying to mouth. Like they can tell that I am a newbie. So they're easily able to navigate. But it's distracting if you allow yourself to look and see. If I was to look around and be like, oh, there's somebody. Oh, there's somebody. Oh, there's somebody. Oh, look, there's somebody doing better than me in business. Oh, look, there's somebody doing better than me in business. Like if you distract yourself with what you think you perceive that everyone else is doing, then you're totally fucked. So just stay concentrated on what you're doing, even if your progress is slow. Slow quality work wins every time.
Yeah, don't try to accomplish. I mean, do as we say, not as we do. I get it, you know, especially those Warners who are high achievers, high performers, and I have a lot of coaching clients now at Sales Gravy, and it's super cool because I am working with some really amazing, most of my clients are women right now. It's funny how that happens. I think Jeb just keeps sending me those. And there's been more requests, by the way, for a Women Your Mother Warns You About mastermind group. So FYI, that's coming. But it's been really cool working with these women who, and younger women who frankly could be my daughters, who are just like, it's so cool to see how hungry they are, how high achieving they are. And at the same time, you know, the doubts and the confidence issues, like we all have it no matter what the age is. And we're trying to get somewhere really fast, but sometimes slow is the game. Slow is how you got to go. We talk about this in prospecting too. It is stretches of suck of like 80% of what you're doing right now is prospecting and looking for the business. And 20% of that, you know, is, you know, what's happening in the 20% is not what it just feels like it's taking so long to get there, but it pays off. You just have to keep having this self-talk with yourself to go slow
and repeat, just repeat. I mean, just in being in Gina's Fanatical Prospecting Bootcamp recently, the first time that I did a call block with our new, let's call it scripting, it was awkward. It was uncomfortable. It didn't feel right. But then by the next few times, like maybe two or three call blocks later, I was texting Gina like, that was the best call block I've ever had, because it started to feel better and get better and better. So repetition is super important too, of just like, I've heard it said before that, you know, about success is we see the highlight reel. You see mm-hmm. the people who are really truly killing it. But what you don't see is that grind, that boring, mundane, repetitive, mm-hmm. just grind of repetition, mm-hmm. repetition, repetition, repetition that got that individual to the level of success that they're at. It doesn't just happen like even the luckiest of the lucky. It's not just luck. It's because they're good at their skill.
We talk about that too, that sometimes we feel like that we're lucky in our prospecting, and it's really not about luck. It's about everything that we put into it. And then all of a sudden it starts to work. Well, it's because we did a lot of stuff. And a great example is my story of being at Sales Gravy. I put years into getting to this point. Right. And where people were like, you're really going to leave your business to go. I'm like, hell yeah. To do like what I get to do at Sales Gravy is everything I've ever wanted to do and more in a better way that I couldn't do that I couldn't do prior to that. But everything that I did in the past 10 years led to this point. And now it is clear. Right? Because when I was in it, I'm like, does this make sense? Why am I doing the Pivotal Leader podcast? And even in moments you've had, like, why are we doing the Women Your Mother Warned You About podcast? Why am I doing, should I be a business coach? Should I add that to my training? Like, look at everything I've done.
Well, and you're also, incidentally, Warner, she's very good at what she does with Sales Gravy. So there's that. Check it out. But it's also, you know, I was thinking about it when you were teaching the other day in the last boot camp I was in, that it's been all those years and years and years and years of training and teaching improv classes and teaching, you know, doing coaching, that you're able to stand there and be very natural about it and be very confident about teaching your courses, because not because like you really haven't been with Sales Gravy that long at this point, but you No. are standing there acting like an expert, but that's because of the years and years of repetition up to this point of all the other Right. things.
Right. Right. Exactly. So what felt painful for the last several years, not painful, but it's like, you know, every time you try something new, you're like, I don't know if this is going to pay off, or people criticize you. Now I've talked to a lot of, you know, coach, like especially women looking for a coach, a lot of prospects that are like, I've talked to my friends about this and my friends and family say, I don't need a coach. I'm like, stop talking to your friends and family.
They'll always tell you you don't need a coach.
I mean, they're not going to understand it. They're not in your shoes. They don't understand where you're trying to go, what your goals are. Stop listening to their voices and don't necessarily take everything I'm saying to heart. I'm going to give you my 2 cents. But at the end of the day, only you know what you need the most. You just need to be honest with yourself on what you need. And then you have to make a decision and make the decision right. Period. End of story.
Here's another perspective on that. So I just started reading, or I just started listening to the book that Rick Guerrero, who we had last week or recently on our podcast, called...
Oh, I have a meeting with him this
week. Nice. So it's called Relentless, and it's... his name is Tim Grover, I believe. Tim S. Grover. He was coach to the likes of Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, some of these high performance athletes. And these are athletes, obviously, that knew what they're doing and they wanted to level up. And his method of coaching was, I'm the one that tells you what to do. And you have to do all the things that I tell you to do. Now, he said that there was communication with the players that wanted to be, like Michael Jordan was really wanted to be involved in what was being, the process. Some just wanted to be leveled up. And so his method was like, you're not going to want to fucking do this. And I'm going to make you do it because I'm not going to hurt you, but I'm going to push you past where you believe you're capable. Yeah. And so you either do it my way or we're not doing it at all. But that's just in order to level up. So sometimes you got to let your coach tell you, push you.
You have to let your coach push you. And if you end up looking for a coach or you think you want a coach, these are the things I say to people who come to me saying they want a coach. I'm like, listen, I want to hear about you. I'm like, nope. First, we're going to talk about you and what is it that you need and why you want this. And then we're going to talk about why me. And what is it like to work with me? And I said, the rumor, you know, once I go through that with them, I go, rumor has it I'm very tough. This is what I've heard. I'm not sure if that's accurate or true. I'm just saying what I've heard other clients tell me about me. So I'm going to be tough, but only as tough as you want me to be. But I don't think I want to work with you if you're not going to be willing to be coachable and do the work. So if you're going to be a baby about it all the time, I'm not going to be a good coach for you. It's okay to be a baby once in a while and to cry, but you have to be resilient and you have to get up and do it. At the end of the day, you know what's best for you. I don't. I'm going to listen to what it is you want to achieve, and then I'm going to push you to get there. And that means sometimes I'm going to have to push you to a spot you don't want to go to, and I'm going to have to show you the things you won't look at that you deep down inside know. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm going to function. Are you comfortable with that? Because if you're not, I'm not a good fit for you, and I'll find you another coach.
Right. I think sometimes people think they need a coach to be their friend and be their cheerleader. And that is not what you need in a coach. Like a coach, and when I coach people, I said, I'm not here to tell you how great you're doing. When you're doing great, I'm going to tell you how great you're doing. But you're not hiring me for that. Because if you were doing fucking great, we wouldn't be here right now. I'm here to point out the areas where we can redirect and improve. And if you're totally blowing it, I'm going to tell you you're blowing it. But nobody that works with me ends up blowing it. They just slide off track and I put them back on track. But it is a coach exactly.
But that's our job.
Same thing, though, when we talked about this in our podcast with Jeb Blunt, is like a coach can, in whatever it is you're doing, can be as hard on you or as nice on you or whatever, but they're not going to go out there and swim the laps for you. They're going to tell you how you can improve your form and your process and optimize performance, but they can't actually do it for you.
Now, my job, and if I'm going to do it for you, you're going to have to pay me quadruple. Period.
Yeah.
End of story.
Well, and if you told your coach to go and run the laps for you or like swim the laps or make the calls for you, then the coach is going to take the business.
Exactly. If I'm going to make your prospecting calls, the money's mine.
I'm calling for this wussy client of mine that's too afraid to call you. Oh yeah, let's work together, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, what was that phrase again that he taught you on when you're like your eyes are What was the phrase?
Eyes in the direction you're headed. High on the edge. Eyes in the direction you're headed.
Okay, eyes in the direction you're headed. I like that.
And that it's a good analogy as well of just like, don't look behind you. Don't look to the side.
Exactly.
Just look in the direction you're going and confidently do what you're supposed to do. Because also the other thing in snowboarding is if you're afraid and if you're coming at it sheepishly, you're going down.
You're going down. It's like getting on a horse and being afraid.
Same.
I'm sure Jeb could talk about that all day
long.
He
does.
You know, the horse senses it.
Yep. He actually does that story in every single book of his. You'll find it. I've been reading all of his books lately, and I'm like, here's the horse story. I like it.
It's true, though. They sense
it. He says when you get on a horse, like if they don't feel like you are, I mean, they're a big giant animal. They can throw you off if they want, and they will if they feel like you don't have it under control. And same with calling clients. You're trying to prospect to somebody and you're like, hey, I was just checking in. It's not going to work.
I'm just hanging up and just
throwing you off the horse, falling miserably down the mountain.
I was hoping, A, I don't care what you want, and B, hope is not a strategy. Hey, we have to wrap up this episode of The Women Your Mother Warned You About. You know, eyes in the direction you're headed is what I'm taking away from this is, you know, you got to work towards what you want. You got to go slow. You can't go fast. You want to up level, but you can't up level fast, period. That's just my two cents on it. Any closing comments for you, Rachel?
I know you've heard this all before. Fail forward, fail faster, fail without fear, and you will progress.
Mm-mm-mm. Awesome. That's it for this episode of The Women Your Mother Warned You About, powered by Sales Gravy. Hey, check out Sales Gravy University. We have some awesome courses that you can sign up for. We have both e-learning and live courses. And check out Outbound Conference, which is coming up in June. Rachel and I will be there live streaming every day. We're super excited about that. For more information about our show, go to womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. Also, pop over to salesgravy.com. You can find everything you want to find out about Rachel and I and Keith and Jeb all at our website. And what else do they need to do?
If you'd be so kind, hop on over to iTunes and leave us a review. It helps us spread the love to more people.
And if you got something out of this episode, share it with someone else. Or maybe you know someone who needs to hear what we talked about today. Share it with them. We love you, Warners. See you next time. Bye.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, I don't think. It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.